Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steven and I are together in the Cleveland studio. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How about you?
I'm doing well. So yesterday, I'm shockingly sitting in a bar watching, I was actually watching golf, and they break into the Masters to say Iran attacks Israel. Now, I didn't know what that fully meant. Yeah, I'm just seeing a headline and a break-in, and obviously I don't sound because I'm at the bar. But I immediately texted you, and my initial thought was, fuck, here we go. And I'm not backing down from that concern. But it turns out Iran shot a shitload of missiles or munitions at Israel, and they were essentially all intercepted.
Yeah, so this was, like, we knew this was coming.
You know what? I didn't. I know they threatened.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's something I had been tracking, like, all week. I just have a group of military guys that follow this stuff very closely, given their profession. So there was buzz about this. Iran was pretty loud and proud about saying that they were going to do this. Alerts were high. Like, we scrambled the Air Force and stuff. Like, we knew this was coming. And so when the launch happened, I got your message. I didn't quite see it because I was doing kid stuff yesterday. But then when I saw what it was what we anticipated, right? Like, they sent a bunch of cruise missiles, and those cruise missiles are dangerous, but they are relatively slow compared to some of the other munitions that are out there. And given the path that they would have to take to get there, we knew that they weren't going to actually do anything, that they probably weren't even going to make it into Israeli airspace, right? Because they were going to have to fly over Jordan. Jordan's like, yeah, we don't really want to be in this, so we prefer if you didn't, and if you do, we're going to shoot them down. And also along the path that they took, that, you know, both the U.S., the U.K., and maybe Australia could all have an opportunity to shoot a lot of these things out of the sky before they made it into Israeli airspace, which is critical, because if they make it into Israeli airspace, even if Israel intercepts them, it's still problematic, right? So
isn't it already problematic?
Yes, but like in when you're talking about rules of engagement, like where things happen actually matter, right? Like, so, I mean, I know we're in this weird time where all the old rules don't matter and everybody's just making up shit as they go. But presuming that your rules of engagement and the Geneva Convention, all that shit actually means anything to anybody, right? Where things happen, especially in airspace, actually matter. Now, some stuff still did get kind of past, you know, Jordan and then make it over into Israeli airspace, but a lot of that stuff was intercepted. As I heard, nothing hit on the ground in Israel, maybe like out in the desert. I don't believe anybody was injured. I do believe that a missile fell somewhere in Jordan that was shot down and maybe injured a girl, but I think she's presumed to be okay. While nothing other than all these missiles being shot out of the sky, nothing happened. But this is still a pretty big event, right? Like, this is Iran directly attacking Israel, and it puts the U.S. in a very, very hard situation, right? Like, because we have for decades said, like, hey, Israel is our main ally and our main partner. We're going to protect them. They are, you know, in a very hostile region. And then all of a sudden now all of that comes to fruition, right? Like, like Iran is directly attacking Israel. The question is, who else is sort of like backing Iran? Now, what's interesting is Saudi Arabia and all this. Saudi Arabia came out and was just like, hey, Iran, you need to chill, right? Like, I don't know if you
know. What about that latest terms?
Right, like, I mean, Saudi Arabia was like, look.
Yo, Iran, you need to chill.
Like, you need to chill the fuck out, bro. And you got to think, too, before October 7th, when Hamas attacks Israel, Saudi Arabia was reaching out to Israel to normalize relations, right? Like, they were, you know, I think Saudi Arabia kind of come to this understanding that, you know, a stable and safe Middle East was a fruitful Middle East, and they had kind of transitioned into more of diplomatic sort of role there. Not to say that Saudi Arabia doesn't have its demons. We've talked about them extensively.
I've been very clear on my stance.
I mean, we're not that far removed from them chopping up a fucking news reporter and throwing his body in a vat of acid, allegedly. But they, since then,
was that wrong?
Right. They've seemed to, we'll just say, mellow out a little bit. And obviously it's driven, by oil business. Look, they're a country, and I think that realizing your, you know, the you know, economic, socio-political benefits to a stabilized nation, not trying to constantly fight a war with Israel or start a war with Israel, just talk shit to Israel. There's some benefits to not doing all that. And so, I mean, I think it's okay to commend Saudi Arabia, even if they're doing it just out of pure greed, right? So, you know, like Saudi Arabia took a stance against Iran on this. We had Jordan's support in taking down some of these missiles. They didn't let them use their airspace. Those are all good signs. But the fact that Iran was even willing to do this is not a good sign.
Well, here's what it felt like to me. When I had fantasies about being a boxer, my nightmare was throwing a big punch, hitting my opponent square on the jaw, and having him look back at me going, oh, that's all you got. So Iran launches 300 munitions at Israel, doing essentially nothing.
It grows every day. It started at 50, and now we're at 300.
But, I saw 300. I don't know.
Not a knock on you. I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, go ahead.
So just say, they took their shot and did nothing. So now Israel can be like, okay, we'll reply in kind. You don't have an iron dome, and we do.
No, it's that won't happen. Iran knew this was what was going to happen.
You think so?
Yes.
Think
this was 100% intentional, right? Iran is simply, you know, Iran is responding in kind to what Israel did, right? So Israel, you know, fires a missile, takes out some Iranian leadership. Iran responds with this, saying, look, we know that most of these missiles aren't going to make it, right? If any. But you need to be aware that we're getting to a point where we really are kind of done with your shit, right? Like, so let's just agree to, you know, kind of.
So you're almost calling this a wag the dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly what it's not almost like this is like translations of what they've been saying coming out of Iran. This is what like they're just like, look, we're going to do this. We're going to send them over. We know they're not going to make it. We know they're going to get shot out of the sky. Maybe if we're lucky, maybe one sneaks through, but our intention is really just to show, this is a show of force.
But isn't an impotent show of force? I mean,
look, I didn't say it was a good idea. It's just their idea.
Okay.
All right. Like, I'm not backing it as the play I would do. What happened.
Fair. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. But this was like, I mean, you know, it's just like watching a game, right? Like, we knew that the Detroit Lions were going to go for it on fourth down. Right? Not a good idea, but they did it, and we knew it. Like, what the fuck do you want me to do? I'm just giving you the after game analysis.
I love the fact how you... Is it Dan Campbell?
Dan Campbell.
I was like, you've gone what, or 360 on Dan Campbell. Look, you know, this guy's a meathead and a dope.
Look, I didn't think that he was going to be a good coach. I thought his, you know, rah-rah sort of stick would go over guys' heads, but he ended up being a really good coach, a guy that I actually like. And being said, all right, him going for it on fucking fourth down in the NFC Championship game was something that we knew he was going to do, right? Like, because that's who and what he is. It was a bad play. So here we are in Iran. So they told us what they were going to do.
I told Dan Campbell.
Right. They told us what they were going to do. They did it. I'm not saying it was a good idea. It was a bad idea, but they did it. Now, what this means is it doesn't change a whole lot, but I think what it does is now everyone is kind of on red alert, right?
Yes.
As to what Iran is willing to do. Now, here's the thing. This particular show of force, yes, it is relatively impotent, but that doesn't mean that Iran doesn't have capabilities to still strike. You know what I mean? And make an impact. Like it's not going to be an easy task for them to do, but they can, right? And they're showing that they have the willingness to. So, you know, Israel needs to be careful to a certain degree. And
they always have to be careful. I mean, you brought this up weeks ago. Like, they're constantly on.
Yeah, but I mean, here...
When October 7th happened, you were like, they don't get a pass of, we didn't see this coming, because you have to expect...
Well, exactly, which, again, Israel know, their intelligence is like, they don't make mistakes. And when they do, I don't know. That still doesn't sit well with me, that just no one knew that this was happening and that everything was just wide open for that to happen on October 7th. I think that Israel kind of, I don't know. We've already talked about that.
Digress, yeah.
What this does mean, though, is you have to wonder if this gives the U.S. any sort of ability to rein Israel in as it relates to Gaza, Palestine, and what's happening there, right? Because... Here's the reason why, right? The U.S. can now say, like, look, we get it. You're angry about October 7th, and you let out all sorts of rage that's been pent up for the last 50 years, okay?
Right.
Like, you threw your tantrum, right? You wiped out 50,000 fucking people, but now, like, you're starting to poke the bear, right? You are in the middle of a region that doesn't fucking like you. Okay, now what you're going to do is you're going to fucking fuck around and you're going to start World War III, right? So if you want to start World War III, like, then continue down this fucking path, right? Because, like, we're not going to jump in. U.S. is not, we're not going to jump in until we absolutely have to, which means that you may take some hits before we get all the way in, right? Is it worth it to you to start World War III just to throw your tantrum? Right? Or can you say enough is enough? You've shown what you can do. Now let's reel this shit in, right? Let's get the hostages back. Let's get some stability back in the region, and let's move on. You would hope that that was the conversation that Biden was having with Bibi yesterday. We know that they were, you know, locked in a room, locked in a proverbial room on the phone, whatever, having a long, extensive talk yesterday about how to proceed. Right, I don't think Israel is going to respond in kind to Iran on this. At least I hope not.
Because if they do, then I mean,
well, then
what did World War II feel like in 1938?
Yeah, I don't know why you keep going to that. I don't care. Like, this is a whole different time. There's not a single thing that's even comparable.
Everything's comparable in the sense that things don't happen in the sequence. You know, we read about them in history and we see a sequence of things, but
none of the sequence is remotely the same.
If Israel were to shoot missiles at Iran, I presume they would hit. Then you've got Iran and Israel in a direct war. Like you said before, Saudi Arabia is kind of in the middle. They're heavily dependent on us, and they have long-term...
Saudi Arabia, there's Jordan, there's Syria,
Iraq.
All
scrambles out, Turkey, Egypt, there's so many players in the game there, and if we get involved, meaning the U.S., then
there's also the Russian-Ukrainian. Like, I'm not saying that World War III doesn't pop off. I'm just saying that I don't give a fuck about comparing it to World War II. I already know that we're on the verge of World War III right now.
Okay.
What the fuck else do you need? you've got Russia and Ukraine. You've got everything going off in the Middle East. I still don't know what the fuck China's plan is. You know what I mean? Really? What more signals do you need? Yes, we are on the verge of World War fucking III. I don't give a damn about World War II right now. Almost all those people are dead. I'm still alive, right? You're still alive. I am worried about right now. I don't need to compare it to them. Right? Like, okay. What I need to do is figure out what the next step is. And there's nothing from World War II that's going to tell me what the next step is, because the dynamic is totally different in terms of our technology, the ability to communicate, the ability of weapons to strike from fucking anywhere. Right? This is a whole new ballgame comparisons.
This is
what it feels like. This is what World War II felt like. Are you happy? This is what it felt like.
Do I sound happy?
Even more information than they had then. Right? Back then, it's kind of like you got a newspaper 7 days after shit happened. Like, this is happening in real time. We know.
Yes.
You know? Okay, agreed. So now, I need to figure out, you need to figure out, Biden, BB, Vlad, they need to figure out what their fucking next move is. Right? And because whatever they, like, the next move that Israel does is the thing that impacts all of us. If they do the smart thing, they sit on their hands, they are pissed, and fine, be pissed, right? But you set the world on the fucking World War III, because you fire back at Iran, then we, like, you know what the dominoes are. We do know what the dominoes are.
Yeah, to a degree, yeah.
Right? I mean, like, so, like, that, and that's the thing that you hope that Biden was able to get into his head, right? Like, this is some shit that you do not want, right? Because you do that, then we can't stop them from coming in your borders. Right. Also, you pull us into a war at the worst fucking possible time. You know, I mean, because, like, we're already trying to work. We're already worried about what the fuck Russia is doing.
Then there's a possibility of a civil war.
Right. I mean, like, our local shit is not the most stable. Right. And North Korea, you know, you got psychopath down in North Korea who, like, literally nobody. And then he's down there. If anyone attacks us, we will come at them with all the, like, I'm like, what, Kim, what are you talking about? Like, no one literally gives a shit about you right now. What are you even talking about?
You just get such a South Park vibe with, you respect my authority.
It's not me, it's him. He is giving the South Park vibe.
Right, and you're portraying it to me. Again, intentional or not, that's what popped in my head. Maybe too much South Park in the hotel in Maryland is getting to me.
I don't know if there's enough South Park. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, but my I guess, I get where you're coming from with that, but I'm just kind of like, we're in it, bro. Like,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I mean, this is it. You're in the thick of it, right? Like, right now.
You're not wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm just an asshole.
No, okay, not then. Even. No. I mean, there's no asshole about you. Like, you're absolutely right. But the thing is, you are in the middle of it right now. This is what it feels like, right? Like, you don't need to go back then. Like, you're in it. You're feeling it right now. This is what it was like. But it's worse for us because we know everything in real time.
And right, nuclear capabilities and are so different now than they were.
And all the capabilities. You literally have, like, there would have been no Pearl Harbor. You know why? Because there wouldn't have been manned jets with Pearl Harbor. Yeah. Those would have been unmanned drones. Right? You know what I mean? Like, that would have dropped in the sky. So, like, it is totally...
And the radar system, I mean, everything's right,
like,
so different.
Everything is so different, and everything is so much faster. Right? Like, and again, that's also why yesterday was just, like you said, a wag, because they sent cruise missiles, right? Cruise missiles were the shit in 1992, right? Cruise missiles now are... Like, the 22 of you know, handgun ammunition. Like, oh, they're fun to play with or whatever. Meanwhile, like, they got, like, even Iran has way faster, way nastier missiles and unmanned drones that they could have sent that could have caused a lot more problems. And they could have sent a lot more, right?
Sure.
But they didn't. They did what they did, and Israel needs to recognize that. Right, not because Iran is so powerful, but it's just like, look, they hit you with a water gun, right? This is not the time to hit them with a sledgehammer, right? Like, you take it, you grit your teeth, and you focus on what you have going on right now in front of you, and don't start a war on multiple fronts. Cool your heels.
All right,
that's the message that needs to get into BB's head. Benjamin Netanyahu, for those who don't know.
Yeah, people call him BB, it cracks me up. It's like, it's such a cute name for a guy who's done the shit he's done. Calling Adolf Hitler...
Addy,
come on now.
Attaboy.
I'm not directly comparing the two, just probably pissed off a bunch of folks right there, but fuck them. All right, moving domestically. Trump is going on trial for the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. And it's really not about the hush money. People get this wrong. They say it's about him paying hush money. No, it's about him siphoning money from his campaign through Michael Cohen and then calling it a legal expense, trying to shut her up before the 2016 election. So it's not that he fucked a porn star and then paid
her. Here's the thing. What they're saying is that this is a campaign finance violation. Okay? And what they're saying is he did this to influence the election, so he used campaign money, and they have a problem. The state of New York has a problem with this case, which is pretty fucking simple, right? You need to be able to prove that the only reason that he paid her to shut up was because of the campaign, right? Now, what's the fatal fucking flaw in that?
You need to prove intent.
Right? But it's even more basic than that, Jim. What's the fatal flaw, right, in showing that the only reason a guy would pay a woman to shut up about sex is because he's running for president? What's the flaw in that?
He's also doing it to keep his wife.
Because men have been paying women to shut the fuck up about sex because of extramarital relationships since the beginning of fucking time and money and sex, right? Like, whether it's a campaign or you're a rich CEO or you're just an average dude who doesn't want his wife to find out that he banged some chick on the road at a conference, right? And it is going to be very hard to say that this particular expense, right, like, just because he used campaign finance money doesn't mean, because you have to show that if it's not for the campaign, that this would not have happened, right? There's a heavy burden on the state to prove the campaign thing. Now, will they be able, like, can you convince a jury? You probably can, and this is where Trump goes to the I can't get a fair trial. I don't necessarily disagree with him there, right? If I'm just looking at this objectively from a legal standpoint, which is why I never liked this case, right? I never felt good about them bringing this one, and I thought this was the weakest of all of them because I think that there are holes in this case, and this is going to be one that he probably can win. Right, he may not win, but it's not, if he loses his case, it's not going to be because of the legal merits of the state of New York versus Donald Trump and the state of New York having the upper hand. I don't think that they do. Right now people are going to immediately, oh, well, campaign money and there's hush money and the timing. Yeah, that's there. You're right, but you just have that pesky thing of what the law requires, and you have to be able to show that. You know, like, it, because if you take the campaign away, is there reason for him to keep this under wraps? Sure. Dude's a billionaire, yeah. Right? Maybe Melania leaves him, takes half, right? You know, it could impact something with NBC and his show there, or it could have impacted, you know, some of his other deal. People wanted a deal. You can make up any dozen of reasons why he would do this besides just the campaign. And because you can show that there are other reasons why he would want to keep her quiet, then you're going to have a tough time basically proving what you need to prove in order to slam this case home if you're the state of New York.
You know, and I thought there was issues with, like, the way money got moved around and stuff, and that was that was not burden of proof in terms of intent. But you know the law better than me. But I will say that what you're saying makes sense, and it's really bad for the state of New York, and it's really good for the Trump campaign if he gets brought up on this shit and is acquitted. Yes. If he's acquitted, he can go, you know, kangaroo court, they tried to interfere with the election, but they failed because I'm innocent. And we both know that the Trump-supporting crowd will not pay attention to the details. They won't give a shit about the actual trial. They will say...
This was just a bad case to bring, right? I mean, even if they do win it, right? Like, okay, you know, I mean, it's campaign finance, right? People have been hit with this all the time. It this lends itself to the whole Trump derangement syndrome. And I know people are just like, he's a bad guy, we got to get him. And like, look, I've been the one who said, right, Trump's biggest problem is Trump because he can't shut the fuck up. Because he's so loud, because he wants to put the attention on him all the time, because he can't avoid the spotlight, he got the spotlight. And because of that, right, like, you create enemies and they come after you. That is just how it fucking works.
Sure.
You can be as mad as you want and say, it's not fair, then shut the fuck up, right? You don't want this sort of heat, then shut the fuck up, right?
And what he's been unable to do is shut the fuck up.
Right, and he can't do it.
There's gag orders. So that could actually put him in jail.
No, it's not going to put him in jail.
I know.
I
know. Legally speaking, it could. It's not going to happen. I agree.
This is why, like, either I should or should never run a media outlet. Because if one of my fucking reporters came to me, I think Trump's going to violate the gag order. I'm going to fucking gag you if you bring up the gag orders again. No one gives a fuck about the gag orders. You know why? Because if they did, his ass would have been in jail by now. None of these judges are going to actually do what they say with these fucking gag orders. Okay? Don't bring it up again. Don't put it on the board. I don't care about it. Because he's going to talk about it on his fucking stupid social media site, which, by the way, can we talk about DJT?
Sure.
I just want to...
Steve just grabbed his phone, so I can't wait for what's going to come up.
No. Trump Media and Technology Group Corp. $32.59 a share, down 18.2% month over month. The funniest thing about Trump's social media thing, like, so when you pull it up in, like, TradingView or on whatever, you know, it's got all the company stat, market cap, $4.45 billion, EPS, negative 0.59, not ideal. Net income, negative 21.891, revenue, zero. Right? Like, how do you have a company that has zero revenue with a stock price of $32.59, right? So this goes back to what I was talking about with, like, this whole thing with him making the company public was all a money grab. But what did we tell you? We told people, be careful putting your money into this, right? At the time when we talked about it, the stock had skyrocketed up to like $75, $78 a share. Then it came back down to earth, down to like 50. And then last week it was 40. Now it's at 32. I have a feeling it's probably going to drop lower this week.
And you said they don't, I can't buy, put options on that?
I'm not saying that you can't. It's just,
I wish I had.
You can, you absolutely can, but it's just, it's expensive to do.
Okay. So the market takes into account that the ship is sinking.
Like yes, the market doesn't give a fuck that it's Donald Trump. But, you know, as it just really, some of this stuff is trivial and to me is not news, right? Trump violating gag orders isn't news anymore. He's been doing it for the last two fucking years, right? That's not a news story. Right. Oh, they put a gag order in. Trump goes on Truth Social, talks about everybody he's not supposed to talk about, and what do the judges do?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. That's not a story.
And what they could legally do is fine him $1,000 per incident, which he can actually afford, or put him in jail for 30 days, which they won't have the balls to do.
No, they're not, and it's not a smart move to do. You're not gonna put a fucking president of the United States in fucking Rikers,
right?
Like it's a bad idea. So it's not, and I'm like some of that stuff. Even if they're talking about it on Fox or whatever, it's trash, right? And I'm at a point, man, where I don't really give a fuck about trash. I don't have the time for it. I don't have the patience, and this is what you get. Right? You bring bullshit to me, I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. Like, stop bringing that shit. He does have this trial. It starts on Monday. Like I said, I don't think it's going to go great for the state of New York. I think it's going to get dragged out. You know, it's probably going to last.
It's going to be so sensational, though, right? They're going to bring
way longer than
Stormy Daniels and everybody's Cohen.
Yeah, it's and look.
TV drama.
Right. It's. I just don't think it goes well for him because at the end of the day, I think what they have to prove, they're going to have a tough time proving. And they'll just be able to go off his past behavior, right? Before he ran for president, did he pay out people to shut the fuck up? Sure.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and then you're going to be able to point to other people like, look, other people pay women to not talk all the fucking time. Right. Like, so he probably didn't want this to come out now and he could easily point that he's going to say he never did anything with Stormy Daniels, right? Like that she made it all up to begin with. Then we're going to have that whole conversation where I'm sure she's probably going to get real detailed about it, which none of us really want to fucking hear. We'll see. But this is the trial that I was the least excited about. I thought it was the weakest case. I thought it was the one that someone should have told Alvin Bragg, like, sit this one out. But you know, everybody's got to make a name for themselves, and here we are.
And I'm going to reiterate that swinging and missing only empowers Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, now the only, I guess, thing is that he's got so many other cases, right?
True.
Like he's still
and the Georgia January 6th things are the ones I care about because one is election interference, yes. The other is a fucking attempt to destroy our democracy.
Those two are the ones that really matter, and I think this one and even the one with Letitia James. Like that, the one with Letitia James and
it was just civil. Right?
Yeah, it's civil. Like that one's
kicked to the balls.
That one's different because all the money that's involved, right? Now she is going to be pretty aggressive. I think that bond that the insurance company put up is getting thrown out. I think they're still trying to figure out how that works because ultimately the insurance company basically didn't have the money to cover it. The insurance company is saying that they do. Court's saying, like, hurry up, because if you don't, then, you know, then the bond is no good, and she can start to collect during the appeal. So we'll see how that one goes. That one is big because it impacts his income.
Yeah, and potentially right. His property owners, right? I mean,
well, yes, I mean, because it's his income is based
one
off
one
of...
One and the same,
yes.
I understand.
So he has an issue there. Now, what we know, though, is that he and the RNC are just going to crank up the fundraising and try to siphon money off of the Trump followers and the Trump faithful to pay court costs and to pay his living expenses and all that other stuff. And they're going to toe the line of legal versus, you know, more campaign finance law. But that's how they're basically going to try to fund it. We just talked about, you know, Truth Social and that company going public. They're going to try to siphon money off that way. So, you know, I'm sure the SEC is all over that, which, you know, they need to be careful there because, look, the SEC doesn't fuck around. You know, like if they thought Letitia James was bad, like you try to pull some bullshit with this stock and see how that goes. But, you know, I mean, it's like this trial is going to be a big deal in the media. They're going to cover it. They have to. But like I said, I think it's the one with the least amount of firepower. It's the one that I'm least interested in.
And it's probably the one that's going to get the most media attention.
Well, no. When
you've got porn stars and mistresses and... Jim, you don't think it's going to get...
It's not going to get
this
more...
This is going to be Bill Clinton, Mogilewski stuff.
It's not going to compare anything to when he... And it's Jack Smith and Donald Trump. It's just not. You're talking about that's the one that could land him in prison for an extended period of amount of time. This is nothing, right? Like that, like this will have a lot of pomp and circumstance.
I'm saying media hype, media
the media hype. Listen, I get it, but as dumb as the media is, they're not dumb, right? And the amount of hype that's going because everyone knows that like Jack Smith doesn't fuck around as a prosecutor. And that's the one that's going, that could be the one that is the death knell, like the absolute death knell for Donald Trump, right? Because think about
when's that going to happen?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know. We're still waiting on a decision from the Supreme Court. But I mean, look, that doesn't, now if it doesn't happen, then okay, yes, this is big. But it's still, I still think the other two cases that he has will be bigger because of the actual impact to him. Right.
I'm not arguing with what you're saying. I'm just saying from a sensationalism standpoint, this has everything the media loves. We've got sex. We've got porn stars.
I know, but...
And I'm not saying... I'm not applauding that.
Yeah, but I mean, again, yes, it has those things. But you honestly think that, like, no one really cares about Stormy Daniels. Like, and we're so all... Like, yes, it's got sex, but it's not... There is going to be a high level of interest, but Trump's not worried about going to prison for this.
Agreed.
Right? Everyone is going to be watching, though, over the obstruction thing. Everyone is going to be watching about the Georgia thing because those two cases could land his ass in jail. Now, when they happen matters because are they going to happen before the 2024 election? And then if they don't happen before the 2024 election and he wins, then they probably never happen. Right?
True.
So like, okay, fine. I guess you win because the other two don't happen.
But if the other two happen
before the election, then I think those are much bigger stories. The media will treat them as such. just because they don't have a porn star doesn't mean that they're not bigger and the media is going to treat them as such, right? Like, and it's Donald Trump, and we've been dealing with this forever. Like, we're all used to the porn star being involved in this. It's, you know what I mean? Like, this doesn't have the, I know what you're saying, but I don't think it, I don't think we're looking at it the same.
I want to move on just so we don't spend the whole time talking about Trump. The state of Arizona is trying to enact a law that was originated in 1864 to completely ban abortion. Abortion has become a topic I'm sick of hearing of. Now, you and I on the show have said for years that we generally stay away from that issue because we're never going to have one.
We can't even say that anymore.
No, we can't. We're bringing it up.
You know, I mean, like, that was our stance before. And then
every time we get out, they pull us back in. This seems to be clearly losing a position for the Republican Party. They keep digging in, trying to go further and further. It was, we're going to ban abortion after 6 weeks. Then it was, we're going to ban it altogether, no exceptions. Then it was, IVF is essentially state-sanctioned murder, so if you have embryos in a freezer and you thaw them, they die, you've committed multiple murders. I know that sounds stupid when I say it, but that was what was put out there. And so Arizona is a state that I think was probably leaning pretty hard towards Trump despite Biden getting it in 2020. And things like this bring young women to the polls. Bring women to the polls.
It's not, because they're not just young.
You're right. Right. You're right.
And there's plenty of women north of 30, north of 40 who are like, yeah, about that. You know,
sure. I mean, and there's plenty of super staunch pro-life women who are going to go out and vote. You know, I'll vote for Trump because he's pro-life like me. I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, he's not, but whatever. But it is a very, you know, guns, abortion, you know, issues with the LGBT community tend to bring people to the polls. And more people at the polls is generally bad for Trump.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Arizona's definitely got a problem here, and they're recognizing it. Like, they're already starting to kind of backtrack on it some. Even Trump has, you know, backtracked on this and said, okay, guys, you went a little too far. And I think I made a joke like, well, I mean, Trump is going to backtrack on abortion. I think he's paid for too many. Even he can only, his hypocrisy can only go so far. You know, like, this is a bad play. And listen, most states are learning that hard stance against abortion, not a winner. Arizona is probably finding that out. And taking the politics out of it, it's just dangerous. You know, I think I've talked about, I know someone personally in a state that outlawed abortion. So she had to communicate with people outside of that state in very discreet ways and ask them, hey, can you find me a place where I can go, right? And then using people outside of the state to arrange for her, because it wasn't that she was out partying, got knocked up, didn't know who the dad was, and she's only 18. No, she is a full-ass grown adult woman with a high-level job, married, planned on having the baby. Baby dies, right? Baby, fetus is non-viable inside of her, right? She's right. Got months to go. Right. And they're just like, well, you're just going to have to, you know, have this dead baby inside of you.
Write it out. Yeah.
Right. Write it out and then fucking pat. And she's like, I'm not fucking doing that. I can't handle this. Like, I wasn't doing well with the pregnancy when the baby was alive. I'm for damn sure not doing well with it now that the fetus is not viable. So she had to leave that state, right, and travel to a whole ass another state to have this thing removed from her. Right. And the only reason she was able to do it, because she was able to afford to do it given her income. Right. But think about that.
Right. Right.
Think about what she had to do, because she was just out catting around, right? Or just, you know, made a bad mistake, or no, just her and her husband had planned it, and then her doctors are like, you should probably have this removed, but there's nothing that we can do because of the law of the state. So good luck, and that's what she did, and that's what these states are doing, forcing women to do, right? And that just for the women who can afford it, okay, but just because they can afford it doesn't mean that should be the extent that they have to go through for something as personal, as intimate as this. Right. Sure. So now we're not. Now we're getting to. Now what are you doing with the women or the girls who can't afford this?
Right. Right.
Who have similar situations or situations that aren't similar, but situations that maybe put their lives in danger or derail their lives so bad that they might as well be in danger and that they need different options. This what these states are doing because they've decided that they don't have great policy to stand on, so they're going to start a culture and holy war. It's more important that they win the holy war than they actually have good policy, and this is the result.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, yeah, I can't put myself directly in those shoes, nor can you, but what the situation
you don't have to.
No, right? No,
like,
no,
when
no.
You've got you situations like that, you right. Could just be an empathetic human.
Yes, exactly. Well, exactly, but what you're talking about is, I don't want to say this wrong, like the situation you're talking about, she at least had the means and opportunity to take care. And you're like you're just saying, if you're a 21-year-old, you know, college student in the middle of Ohio and you don't have the ability to...
Or you're a 30-year-old that works at Dollar General. At right, a Dollar okay. General, and you know, you make $15 an hour and you work 30 hours a week, right? Now, people are, you know, like, now the immediate deflection is, well, you should get a better job and you should get an education. You shouldn't be in that position. You shouldn't be abstaining from sex and blah, 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 blah. Exactly. All right, well, that ain't how it fucking worked, right? If abstaining from sex was just so goddamn simple, then first of all, you wouldn't have these families with 20 kids, right? We wouldn't have half these problems. But clearly, it's not that simple. So we need better solutions than what we have, than just telling people, shame on you, and don't do this and don't do that after the fact. And it just, this is...
From a political standpoint, though, this is a loser for the right.
It's a loser in every way, shape, and form, right? Because the bottom line is that you've got women and men on the right in Republican circles yelling and screaming, abortion is bad, it's murder. Meanwhile, some of those women screaming about it, Marjorie Taylor Greene, have probably had an abortion. Some of those women and men screaming about it have probably paid for fucking abortions, right? Like, so it's not only...
Herschel Walker.
It's not... yes, right? Like, it's not only the fact that it's a political loser. It's not only the fact that of the harm that it's causing, but the people who are calling for it are fucking lying hypocrites because they have benefited from it in some way, shape, or form, whether directly or indirectly or through proxy because they're paying for it.
Yeah. No argument there. All right, I want to get on to sports-related stuff, but before we do that, so a Russian political scientist has come out
and... a guy in Russia was on TV, and he said that he thinks that Russia should take over Alaska, California, and, I don't know, maybe Hawaii.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. I saw it. When I was reading that to you, I didn't think you were going to put it on the board, but whatever. It was just random from some political scientist in Russia on a TV show. Now, the other person who was on the show was like, all right, that's wishful thinking. Let's calm down. It's not realistic. So, again.
All right. Jump past that then. And let's get to Mike Tyson and Jake Paul are fighting in July.
I think OJ dying probably should go first? Above that.
Okay, fine. OJ says, this is what happens when we do show planning on the fly. O.J. Simpson passes away at age 76 from prostate cancer. I bring up O.J. every time I get a chance, as you know, and hate. The Twitterverse was abuzz with jokes, and you sent me one, so you're shaking your head like you're above this all. You sent me the white Bronco hearse driving down the highway.
That was funny.
It was, well, there's a lot of funny stuff. There was,
Well, I don't want to get into the jokes, because here's the thing. I couldn't help but laugh at the Bronco hearse. But here's the thing with OJ. I think he probably killed him, right?
Oh, I think
so. But yes. I also think that the acquittal was right.
I agree with that as well. You know, in the criminal trial, absolutely.
You know, there was a lot of evidence against him, and I don't think the prosecution did a bad job, but I think that the LAPD and the circumstances around it put the prosecution in a bad position, and I think the acquittal was right. I think that Johnny Cochran and the defense team did their job to create a reasonable doubt, even though I think the naked eye and common sense tells you that OJ probably did this, right? Now, there's an argument out there or a theory that maybe it was his son. I don't necessarily disagree, maybe, but like no one has proven that. That wasn't really brought up at the trial. So, so what that means, though, is that I think I'm not going to sit here and tell you that OJ was innocent and like fight. Like, there's been this ongoing battle with direct racial ties, right? For black people, OJ was innocent. For white people, OJ was guilty. And I think the reality is that, again, like I said, most people can recognize that he probably killed him, but the acquittal was right based off of the circumstances. The civil trial was probably got it right and resolved it, and OJ was a garbage human, right?
Yeah.
I think we can all
agree. He was a narcissistic.
Right. I mean, so there's no praise there, but I don't think that I'm not going to pile on. Is it fence sitting? Yeah. Cause I mean, honestly, it doesn't impact me all that much. Two, like I can recognize that OJ Simpson was an amazing NFL player, was an amazing football player, but he just did not embody in his personal life what like, again, a good person should be.
You know what, though?
Even if you take away the murder situation, like, even if you take away, and I know that's big.
Yeah.
But even if you take that away, like, I mean.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how do you
right, and but, I mean, I just, you know, as like, look, just because you're a black football player doesn't mean you necessarily need to be a black thought leader and you need to lead the black community. But O.J. Simpson, you know, openly went against the black community and had issues with, you know, like he wasn't in the camp with Jim Brown and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Muhammad Ali, right? Like he was definitely not, he was also younger, but he just wasn't in that realm. And I'm not necessarily going to beat him up on not joining that fight, but some of the shit that he said, like, I'm not black, I'm OJ. Like, get the fuck out of here. I don't know. He just kind of had a clown existence. You know,
he was in the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah, right. But I mean, like you can be like, you know, Jim Carrey was in all of his movies.
Well, and Kareem was an airplane.
Right, so. And Kareem was an airplane. But like, I
I'm just saying,
Jim Carrey has an intellect. Kareem has an intellect. OJ didn't. Right. Like he didn't bring a lot of value to the table outside of his athletic ability. And then he came with a lot of baggage, self-inflicted and inflicted upon others.
Right. Allegedly. I mean, he had multiple domestic violence allegations against him prior to.
Not to mention the whole, you know, holding people up at gunpoint to get his memorabilia back. And
the funny thing about that is he got the book thrown at him because of the murder trials, right? If that same thing happens to you or me, we probably face legal repercussions, but we don't get jacked. I mean, he got 10 years?
Jim, I don't think it goes well for me if I go in and kick in a hotel room door with a gun demanding shit. I can't imagine that they're just going to let me walk.
Right?
But, like, I mean, well, I you know.
Let's try it. Let's go to Vegas.
No. Yeah. Hard pass. There was absolutely
you
a tax.
You wanted me to try Molly on the show? Let's go to Vegas.
Yeah. There's nothing that I want you to do that will land you in prison for an extended period of time. Right?
Me holding. If you're not going to be a team player, fine.
Me holding someone at gunpoint trying to get my shit back probably doesn't go well. But look, I think that, you know, to say that OJ is a divisive character is probably an understatement. You know, I think he was a bad guy. I think that the trial itself came out the right way based off of, and look, some of it too is just like, look, man, yeah, plenty of white people that have gotten off that have literally gotten away with murder. Like, I'm not going to apologize for OJ getting away with murder. And if you want to be mad about it, all right, well, that's how black people feel about a lot of shit that white people get away with. So welcome to the fucking party.
And what people don't tend to know, and I mean, I've been obsessed with the OJ thing. It happened right as I was graduating from college. I've been completely obsessed with it. Obviously, being a Bills fan adds to it.
OJ played for the Bills. For
yes.
The non-football people out there.
Yeah, well.
Hall of Fame player, amazing player.
He was an amazing running back. But if you see, Like, so much of the trial was based on blood evidence. If you see the mishandling of blood evidence by the LAPD, it's egregious. I mean, you sit there and say, like, how could you fuck this up that badly? The bloody glove found behind the house, I am almost 100% convinced it was planted there. No one loses a glove. No one loses, leaves one glove at one site and another one at another. That does not happen.
I don't think it was planted. I think he could have, like, you're trying to take the gloves off. Your hands are bloody, slippery, adrenaline. You drop the glove. I can't see. It's dark. I don't know.
I think the blood evidence on the car was planted.
I think the mistake with the glove was having him try it on. Remember?
Oh, absolutely.
That was the prosecution's call. That wasn't Johnny Cochran. There was
a prosecution bullying them into, the defense bullying them into doing it, and it worked.
Look, I mean, but that's on Marsh Clark, right?
Yep.
And Darden. Because, like, there's no way in hell, like, think about it. Like, you've seen the glove, right? You knew that glove was covered in blood and that it had shrunk. Right, so
and
why
you let him put a latex glove
right, and
on.
You put a latex glove on top of it, so it's just like, no, it's not gonna go on good. This is gonna look terrible. You didn't need to be a fucking seasoned vet to know that was a terrible idea. And when they did it, that was basically the fucking nail in the coffin for them. And I don't have an issue with the way that the case was decided. Now, if you want to talk about how it was prosecuted, how the evidence is handled, all that stuff. Like, look, you had all the evidence that you needed there to get him, but you fucked it up. You didn't cross your T's and you didn't dot your I's in the process, right? You wanted to, but some of these, like, and look, you got a cop that is a blatant racist that is not even trying to hide it, right? Who, by the time he gets to the stand, is basically like, all right, yeah, fuck it, I can't stand him, right? Like, so, and Mark Furman, like, listen, it is what it is, sorry, but now, that doesn't change the fact that I still think OJ probably did it. Right, I'm fine with saying that he probably killed him, but he wasn't convicted of it, so it is what it is, and you move on. But then he goes on to show you who he is, and I've told this to people countless times. My time as a public defender, the question I would get is, how could you defend criminals? They're all so bad. They're bad. Criminals are bad. And at the end of the day, my job as a public defender or as a defense attorney is to protect your constitutional rights, to protect due process, to ensure that you get due process, to ensure that the police cross their T's and dot their I's during the process, to make sure that innocent people don't go to jail, because there's more, as a society, it hurts us more to have innocent people convicted than it does to have a guilty person walk away. And ultimately, my explanation is like, listen, chances are that person is guilty of a crime, chances are they're going to do another crime, and they're going to get their just due, right? Or they won't, right? Or they... They made it out. And they clean it up, right? But the harm done, right, having an innocent person go to jail is way worse.
Yeah.
Right? So my job as a public defender, as a defense attorney, is to protect all that, right? And even if I have a person who is guilty of a crime, if the actual process of finding that person guilty, right, is a tortured path, is from the fruit of the poisonous tree, that cannot stand. Right, because then you have a corrupted system, and once the system is corrupted, we're seeing it that it is hard to heal it. It's hard to fix it, and it only gets worse and spirals downhill. So, as a public defender, as a criminal defense attorney, how do I sleep at night? I sleep at night knowing that I am protecting the very thing that separates us from that is the difference between a democracy and a republic, and a authoritarian dictatorship, bad situation, right? That's how you sleep at night.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, our system as designed, and it certainly doesn't always work this way, but as designed is not intended to prosecute the guilty, it's to protect the innocent. And when you let that principle fade, bad things happen.
Yeah, and so I mean,
we're both using such great terms.
Which is fine. Sometimes you don't always have to use the legalese and all that other stuff. But so, which is my stance on OJ? He's dead. He didn't do much to ingratiate me. I mean, like towards the end, I know he started to kind of open up a little bit, and he also did some really tasteless things. You know, the one thing I will say, that whole book thing people talk about. Oh, OJ,
if I did it.
Yeah, did you know that
Ron Goldman?
Yeah,
Fred Goldman.
Fred Goldman, right? The family had rights to the book, and they changed the name and the title to that book to "If I Did It: Confessions of a Murderer."
Right. So I actually listened to that book on CD. It was a case study in narcissism. I mean, you listen, it's OJ's words, and they are, it's all about, all I want to do is be a good family man and protect my family, and Nicole was partying so much, and all I cared about was, and then when he gets to the part where the murder happens, it's like, just clearly, so the title's If I Did It, and like you said, Confessions of a Murderer was added by the Goldman family, but when it was really
came out, the whole title was picked by the Goldman family.
Well, the If got 12-point font, and I Did It got 28-point font. So it was clearly meant to convey that message. But yeah, OJ's gone. Not a great guy. We agree on the jury in L.A. doing what was legally the right thing to do. And I've watched way too much about this. And if you see the way they handled the crime scene, it's just so unprofessional. Blood evidence was everywhere. Though I will say this, I still have I cannot wipe out the autopsy photo of Nicole Brown Simpson. It is grotesque. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. So it was not anything other than a brutal murder. All right, moving on. We're running late on time. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul are fighting in July. And Jake Paul... So Mike Tyson has done workout videos, and he said something like, I'm going to end Jake Paul. Jake Paul responded by saying, I'm going to bury Mike Tyson next to his daughter, who died in a tragic, awful home accident.
Yeah, it's a treadmill.
You're right. Got caught on the cord on a treadmill. And he was in Vegas when it happened, so he... You know, books back to Arizona where his daughter died, and she was put on life support for days, if not more. It is one of the most horrific, tragic things you could possibly imagine. And for Jake Paul to go there is so gross that anyone who doesn't want to see Jake Paul lying face down on a mat regretting his words, that's on you, because fuck that guy. I was never a fan. I was going to cheer for Mike Tyson no matter what. But this makes it like, I now want to see him get hurt.
Yeah, I do as well. I don't know. Something about this fight just doesn't sit well with me, mostly because I think it's a money grab, and sure. I know that. I just feel like we know that the rounds are going to be short. I think like 90 seconds or 2 minutes.
No, 2 minutes, yeah.
And I think is it even scheduled for 12 or is it like
no, it's
six?
Like four.
Four. Yeah. So I just, okay. And that is a bit of a turnoff to me, right? I don't know. Are we going to get full Tyson, or is it going to be, all right, like, I'm not going to take any shots at your head. I'm just going to kind of tap you with body shots for, you know, 90 seconds, and then I'll let you kind of do your thing, and then nobody gets hurt, and then we both make a bunch of money, which if they do that, fine, but it will suck. The question is, do you get Iron Mike Tyson, or do you get, you know, 59, 60-year-old Mike Tyson that's just out to grow the sport of boxing and is in this little exhibition with this young guy who...
You know the answer to this.
Runs his mouth a little too much.
You know
I don't.
Well, yes,
actually,
do.
I don't. I don't know what
Mike
Tyson's
going to go out there with intent.
You hope. You want that. I want that. I don't know. Like, Mike Tyson is a different guy, right? And I mean that, like, not he's a different guy from what... Like, he is just a different guy. And you don't know what you're going to get. You can't... Don't pretend to know Mike Tyson. You do not. You've never had a conversation with him in person. Neither have I. And I don't know what we're going to get the night of the fight, because I've seen Mike Tyson in interviews scare the shit out of me, and I was nowhere near that interview. It wasn't even in real time, but the look that he gave, where you're just like, that dude is not wired right. And then there's been other times where people say something where I'm just like, you should get punched in the face, and he just laughs about it. I've also seen him lose his shit on someone on a fucking airplane and damn near kill a kid over asking for an autograph. I don't know which Mike Tyson you're going to get, and that's the part that has me intrigued, because I think if there's a chance that you get old Mike, that's my best that's the thing I'm rooting for the most.
When you say old Mike, you mean retro Mike, like original Mike.
Michael Spinks, unconscious, might be dead Mike. That's the Mike that I want, right? I don't know what we're going to get, though. I think whatever we're going to get is get better than what we got against Buster Douglas. But, I mean, like I said, I don't know if he's going out full kill mode. Or was he planning on taking it easy? Jake Paul takes it too far, and now Tyson is saying, all right, fine. Let's see what you got, kid. I don't know. Which is why I'll watch.
I'll watch it. But I found what Jake Paul said repulsive, and I tried to find the original feed because the initial comment that he made, like, you know, insulting the guy whose kid passed away tragically is gross. But then I heard, like, he piled on to it. Like, you're going to be happy when I reintroduce you to your daughter. I cannot find the original audio, and I don't want to state it as fact. But it wasn't just a slip of the tongue. It was, if what I heard other people say he said was accurate, he's just a shitbag of a human, and I want to see Tyson jack him the fuck up.
And again, I don't know how much of this is staged, planned, what the agreement between them, which I just...
Come on.
What do you mean, come on?
What? There's no way Mike Tyson said, go ahead and bring my deceased kid into this.
Jim, this day and age, like, you, like the fact that these two are even fighting, how this is all being put together, the amount of stuff that they've done together in the beginning, like, this isn't, like, let's use a little common sense here. There's shit going on behind the scenes between these two that there is some sort of business tie here between them.
How much is this WWE and how much of it's actual fight?
Exactly. Now,
okay. You know, I don't see this as being staged at all.
You don't, because you don't want to. Because you want to see Iron Mike go and pummel Jake Paul. So you're going to block out any possibility that doesn't get you to that end. That is exactly what's happening. Clear as day.
Okay.
Because if you pay attention to how this all fucking came together, there's too much bullshit here. And that's why I'm skeptical of this fight to begin with. 4 rounds, 2 minutes, like what? Like this is...
2 minutes can be a long fucking time when you got Mike Tyson pumped.
I know it can. Which is why I said I'm intrigued, because if you get old vintage Iron Mike, this doesn't go well for Jake Paul. But if Mike Tyson keeps the reins on, people are like, oh, he's 60 years old. He's 60 years old, better in better shape than anyone who's giving him shit about being 60 years old.
Yeah.
Right? Anyone who's giving him shit about his age, if I put you in a ring right now for 2 minutes and told you to survive with an amateur boxer, you would get your fucking ass beat. Right? Like, so shut up about his age. I don't care. That dude, with his boxing knowledge and his level of conditioning right now today, is better than 99.9% of the fucking population on the planet in the ring. Period. Point blank. The end. I don't care that he's 60 years old. That man knows how to take a punch. Good luck hitting him, because he can still move. And frankly, he know, even if he's at 80% of his strength all time, 70%.
Power's the last thing to go for a boxer.
Exactly. He is still going to throw a devastating punch, right, that maybe only Zach Galifianakis has felt in recent times.
We still want to know the truth of that. Great. All right, let's wrap up on that, unless you've got a closing comment. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and X. We still call it Twitter. Thanks for listening. We're done. We are not on Truth Social. Out.